I invite you to hear the words from the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 9, chapter 6, correction, verses 6 through 9. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of the hosts will do this. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. To be quite honest with you, I struggled up until the very last minute with the sermon this week. Early in the week, I tried to start putting it together, and the words just wouldn't come. And then Friday happens. And I finally finished putting everything together this morning before I came into church. Because I don't know about you, but whenever I look at this and what shook our country on Friday, and I look at the pictures of these young children, this is not supposed to happen. This is just absolutely not supposed to happen. We know violence happens every day in this country, but this is at the very heart of our soul with a six-year-old Emily, six-year-old Noah, six-year-old Jesse, and then countless others. This is not what our world is supposed to be about. During this Sunday of Advent, we're supposed to be celebrating joy. We're supposed to talk about how joy has come and what joy is. We're supposed to see those places where we find joy in our family and throughout this Advent travel. But what am I to say about joy? I had planned on going in that direction and during our time together with a focus on how we find joy and we make it better during Advent. But evil has resurfaced again in our broken world. And we're left with questions again. We're left with hurt. We're left with sorrow. And we're left with anger. Because a massacre occurred at an elementary school in Connecticut, a small town of 27,000 on Friday, leaving at least 26 dead. And at least 20 of those were children. During the Christmas and Advent season, we're supposed to be focused on joy of the season, joy of the time that we spend together with our family, and joy that we have in Christian fellowship. But I might ask this instead today. Where has our joy gone? And why has our joy been taken away? Because as we awake this morning and I look at the paper this morning, there are 20 children who have left their parents mourning. And there are at least 6 adults who leave behind children and their family that are hurting. So where has our joy gone? In this time of hurt, what we must remember is this, is that this was not God's plan. And that this was not God's will. This was not the fault of the school. This was not the fault of the parents, nor the fault of anything being pointed out by political agendas. The reality of this is that one person, maybe others, it's still under investigation, that one person made the decision to do something that was wrong and they acted out violence. And this decision, this bad decision, led to death. And it led to harm of many innocent people. And evil becomes visible again in our world through the acts of this individual, just as it did in that Colorado theater, at Virginia Tech, at Columbine. And also, daily we see this visible, this evil becoming visible in things like drunk driving accidents and drug violence and homicides and even terrorism with 9/11. It's easy for us to point fault at many things. We can say that it's the politics that caused it. We can say that the guns caused it. We can say that alcohol caused it. And we can say that it was a lack of security when bad things happened. But what I can say to you is that that's not true. The truth is that our focus should be made on the evil that is brought into reality by the choice of an individual or individuals. If we want to consider pointing out a cause and try to say, well, where was the breakdown? Why did this happen? Then I would ask you to look into this world just for a moment and think about some of the things that we see each day. What effect does divorce and broken families have on children? What about our mental health system and our social health systems? Are we doing a good job providing that type of care? And how effective are they? What effect does that violence that we permit our children to practice and become proficient at every day on some of these video games? I mean, we're allowing them to practice these things. Do they sometimes twist that into reality? We've heard those claims on several occasions in the past. What about some of the television shows that depict violence? Now, I'm not talking about the normal cops and robbers type. I'm talking that we watched while we were growing up. I mean, some of the stuff that we watched as kids. I'm not talking about the Atari video games and that kind of stuff that maybe we grew up on, or some of the games that we played. What I'm talking about are the hardcore video games and the hardcore television shows that take graphic violence to a new level. What effect? And they're best sellers. So why are they best sellers? What effect does that have on our world? Where is our prayer? Where is our intentional family time together? Maybe we spend more time shopping or pursuing our hobbies than we do in prayer or in church or in time together with our family. What I say to you is that the secular world has had an influence on us, and perhaps the focus on money or the focus on self-actualization of being somebody, maybe those things have taken away from our real focus. A real focus on Jesus Christ. This tragedy that we witnessed did not happen for a reason at God's hands. It didn't happen because of God's will. It did not happen because God needed more angels in heaven, and it was not their time to go, as is the popular thought when we hear these things. You see, what happened was that what God intended as a gift is sometimes misused and misguided. That gift of the ability to choose, the ability to make decisions, we chose whether we wanted to come to church this morning or not. Others didn't. We choose to do good. Others did not. I saw one child come forward this morning. He had been provided offering money out of his from one of his relatives, and he gave it, and then he opened up his wallet and he gave some more money of his own. It was a choice that he made. He chose to do good, just like we choose to do good. But occasionally, somebody chooses to do bad, and our society is wounded because of it. And those wounds take on the appearance of innocent faces because of decisions that have been made. A bad decision made by an individual due to the influence of the evil in this world, these victims did nothing wrong. They were there at school. They did nothing wrong. They were just there at school. What should have been a time of joy, as schools are nearing Christmas break, has turned into a time of extreme brokenness. And what do you say? When somebody asks us, we leave here today, and maybe they ask you, went to church today. And why did God allow this to happen? Well, God didn't allow this to happen. I don't have an answer as to why this happened. I can't sit here and tell you the cause of why this happened. We had some thoughts earlier, and then of course we got people that will think that they know all the answers, but the thing is, we don't know why this happened. But what we do have is this. is that our God stands ready to comfort us no matter what type of affliction we face. That our God's presence is real, and our God promises to never leave us, and He will help us to rise up out of that brokenness if we simply call upon His name. And we call upon His many names. And we call upon His roles. For a child has been born to us. A child has been born to us and for us and given to us with the authority of the Heavenly Father resting upon His shoulders. The Christ child came into the world for this very reason, because this world is a broken place. And He is called, as we heard the prophet Isaiah say, He is called Wonderful Counselor, because He will guide us. He will lead us. He will provide counsel to us. He is called Mighty God because He is bigger than anything and everything in this world, and bigger than anything that we can face. And He is called Everlasting Father because He is the perfect Father. And He is what we should model. And He is the Prince of Peace, because He doesn't seek this violence. He desires peace in this world. He wants this to go away, and for His love to be what governs everything. But when's that going to happen? When will that time come that the prophet Isaiah describes? That the prophet Isaiah describes in Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. That time that I'm talking about is, the wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hands on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So when will that time come where that peace will be evident in every place that we look? And that's what we pray for, is for that type of peace to be present everywhere we look in the world. But today we only have one choice in the face of this hurt that we experience, and that's to go forward with the presence of the Lord in our hearts. To go forward with the presence of the Lord in our hearts with hope of the joy restored. I mean, after all, this is the Sunday in which we celebrate joy, and nothing that happens can take away from the joy that we receive through the birth of Jesus Christ our Savior. He's the one that gives us that promise of a tomorrow, a promise of an everlasting joy, and a promise of a peace in our hearts that can be described by nothing else than by saying Jesus Christ. But we've got to go forward with hope in the face of this hurt. Because what we do know this is that rejecting God in the face of pain and the face of suffering, it's not going to change the situation. It's not going to change what has happened. It's only going to separate us from that amazing source of hope, of comfort, of help, of strength, and healing that we have. God wants to accomplish good things in the lives of people. And He does not want these bad things to happen. And what God does is this, is He loves us right where we are. He loves us right where we are when we're happy. He loves us right where we are when we're hurt. And He loves us right where we are when we doubt. Because as you know, people are going to doubt. But He loves us no matter what. And He always extends His hands of grace, and always extends His hands of mercy. So as a body of Christ, I say to you this today. Let us offer the light of Jesus Christ. Let us offer the light of Jesus Christ into those places of darkness in this world. Let us offer His love in those places of brokenness. And in doing so, may we together rise up out of this horrible tragedy and focus on the future, a future in which our intentional hope, our intentional prayer, And our intentional action is that evil tragedies such as this may never, ever occur again. And I say to you this morning, may the Lord be with you, and may His joy be in your hearts. Praise be to God.